Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack. Save $200 when you put in code word HOWIE3. Sale is just for this week only and while supplies last. Order at EdenPure.com. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Thank you so much for joining us today. I hope your day is going as swimmingly as mine. We've been going through all of the breaking news today. Jen Psaki was trying to answer some of the questions. She obviously did not actually answer them. She just kind of circled around the questions. And now I'm very excited about our next guest. We have a great guest joining us. His name is Toby Young, and he's on Twitter at Toad Meister. He's the General Secretary of the Free Speech Union. He's the editor of one of my favorite sites, which I think everyone should check out, lockdownskeptics.org, and he's an associate editor of The Spectator. He writes a lot about how these numbers, these models, these predictions are overinflated, and they don't often work out the way the experts tell you they are going to. Toby, thank you so much for joining the Grace Curley Show.
Thank you, Grace. Great to be here.
All right, Toby, so my first question for you, and this is how it first caught my eye because you had a great tweet about this. The formerly debunked lab leak theory is now suddenly a possibility because Dr. Fauci thinks maybe it should be investigated. And this is obviously an interesting reversal, and I kind of want to get into why you think Fauci has had this sudden change of heart. But first, can you explain to people just how aggressively this idea was censored only a year ago?
Yes. So it was highlighted about a year ago as an example of a COVID conspiracy theory of irresponsible misinformation that conspiracy theorists were spreading about the origins of the virus. And even today, if you look up COVID misinformation on Wikipedia, the first item on the list is the quote-unquote conspiracy theory that the virus originated via a lab leak from the Wuhan Institute of Virology. And the reason I think this is significant is because there is, as I'm sure you know, on big tech, a huge amount of censorship when it comes to discussion of the virus. And anything which is remotely at odds with the official approved narrative is often censored, labeled misinformation or false, and then removed by Facebook's so-called independent fact checkers. And this was a prime example of that. And when they did that, they had the authority of being able to say, look, these senior scientists have said that this is a conspiracy theory. There was a letter in The Lancet signed, I think, by 17 scientists saying this was a conspiracy theory. It was irresponsible to promote this baseless theory. And I think that's wrong. I don't think that companies like Facebook, I don't think Twitter, YouTube should be in the business of trying to decide what is a legitimate, respectable thing to say about something like COVID-19 and what's beyond the pale, and to censor that which is beyond the pale. And the reason this is such a great illustration of the dangers of doing that is because what was beyond the pale a year ago is now gradually becoming mainstream science. So I think the person who broke this wide open was Nicholas Wade in a blog post. He's the former New York Times science writer. He wrote a piece setting out in a very reasonable, evidence-based way why he thinks the lab leak theory is pretty plausible, more plausible than the idea that someone caught it from a bat in the Wuhan wet market. That was followed by a letter signed by 18 scientists in the journal Science saying, including some scientists from MIT and Harvard, saying they thought this theory deserved to be investigated. Then the editorial board of the Washington Post, I mean, you can't get more establishment than that, wrote an editorial saying this theory needs to be investigated. And finally, the last holdout, the pillar of the entire COVID narrative himself, Dr. Fauci, said, I think, last week that even he now thinks that this theory deserves to be properly investigated. So it's a really good illustration, I think, of the dangers, the pitfalls of big tech companies taking it upon themselves to censor information which they think is dangerous and irresponsible, because it very may well turn out to be true.
I'm speaking with Toby Young. He's the editor of Lockdown Skeptics, which is a great site. He's been skeptical of a lot of things since the beginning of this lockdown. But I have to ask you about Dr. Fauci. You just mentioned the pillar of all of our science and, you know, medical information here in the United States and around the world. And do you find, and I don't want to say anything that's going to get me in trouble, but it is rather interesting that he has this back and forth with Senator and Dr. Rand Paul, and he is very adamant that Dr. Rand Paul is, you know, speaking out of turn and there's nothing true to what he's saying. And then just days later, he's a lot more open to the idea that, you know, he's not convinced COVID-19 developed naturally. As a skeptic, Toby Young, are you a little bit unsure why Fauci's having this sudden U-turn?
Well, I think he's concerned that he's going to end up on the wrong side of this if he continues to stubbornly maintain that it was transmitted by a bat in the Wuhan wet market. I think he's, you know, it's finally dawned on him, the penny's finally dropped, that it's far more likely to have originated via a lab leak from the Wuhan Institute of Virology. He doesn't want to seem wrong about that. So I think he's now just finally getting on the right side of this. So that's my theory.
Right. He's just going with the wind, as always. Toby, I want to ask you, so I've been reading a lot of your pieces in the Lockdown Skeptics, and it's a great site. And you have often made waves. I don't even know if you know this, but you have a Wikipedia page, and there's a whole section on controversies. And one of the controversies is that you were very skeptical of the models and the lockdown measures. And very early on, you were saying, we're going way overboard with all of this. Why did you have that feeling from the very beginning of this pandemic?
Well, incidentally, I mean, it's interesting that you should flag up Wikipedia. I try and avoid reading my Wikipedia page because it is like a page written by my enemies. I think for many people who are sort of right of center politically, they read their Wikipedia entries, it's as though their arch enemy has written the entire document. And in this case, you know, I'm accused of spreading misinformation on Lockdown Skeptics on my Wikipedia page, precisely because I took seriously things like the lab leak hypothesis. And whether they'll revise that now, I don't know, but probably not. I've been skeptical, I think, from the beginning because I'm a classical liberal, and I bridled at my government's suspension of liberties dating back to the Magna Carta, liberties which have never been suspended before in Britain, not even during wartime. This is the greatest interference in personal freedom than at any time in Britain's history since the Magna Carta was signed in, what, the 13th century. And, you know, as a classical liberal, I find that deeply troubling. And I think that the government's arguments for doing that, that it was necessary to prevent the spread of a deadly disease, and they had no alternative if they were going to manage the infection. I found that a very unconvincing argument from the get-go. I interrogated it, I investigated it as best I could, I looked at alternatives, and I decided that the Great Barrington Declaration alternative, which was to protect the elderly and the vulnerable, and advise people to go about their lives more cautiously than they otherwise would, as though we were in a bad flu season, but to nonetheless allow us to go about our lives and allow us to lead lives as close to normal as possible, I think that would have been a much more intelligent way to manage this pandemic. That was, after all, the recommendation of the World Health Organization for dealing with the next pandemic in a document published in 2019. In those countries that did approach it, broadly speaking, in that way, like Sweden, they've had far fewer deaths per million. In the United United States, those states which have gone about managing it in that way rather than imposing these hard, draconian lockdowns, if you compare the death rate in South Dakota, Florida, Texas to the death rate in California, New Jersey, New York, those states that managed it in that intelligent way seem to have done a good deal better. And I hope the next presidential race will be, I hope the people on the Republican ticket will be Ron DeSantis and Kirsty Nunn. I think that would be a dream ticket that if I was an American, I would certainly vote for, because they managed the pandemic properly. Almost everyone else got it wrong.
Yeah, and Toby, I think a great point that you hit on in one of your pieces is the mental health effects, and that's another way of handling it in which they got it right. They let their citizens, they let the people in their state live. And you wrote that in Britain, 1 out of 10 people wants these lockdowns to go on forever. You call the scientific pandemic influenza group on behavior the mind benders of this science. And I think that's absolutely right. Let's talk a little bit about the psychological effects on people during these lockdowns.
Yeah, one of the shocking discoveries that's been made is that this group of behavioral psychologists advising the British government who are designated by the bureaucratic name SPIB. They advised the government at the very beginning of the first lockdown that if they wanted to get the general public to comply with the new draconian measures the government had put in place, if they wanted people to stay in their homes, to not visit their elderly relatives in care homes, to not go and see their girlfriends and boyfriends, to not go out in groups of more than two or three, they needed to really frighten them. They needed to up the ante, to terrify people. And they recommended various techniques, various covert psychological techniques, in order to instill fear in the population. And the government took their advice, and that's what they did. And one of the problems now they face is that people are so terrified that even when restrictions are lifted, and in England that's supposed to happen on June 21st, they're gradually lifting the restrictions, and the last remaining restrictions are due to be lifted on June 21st, assuming something doesn't happen to upset that apple cart. But it's now becoming clear that plenty of people, when those restrictions are lifted, are not going to leave their homes. They're not going to go shopping. They're not going to go out to restaurants. There was a recent poll conducted by Ipsos Mori, which found that something like 27% of the UK population aren't looking forward to being able to remove their masks when they go out in public. They're still so terrified. Even people who've had a double dose of the vaccine don't want to remove their masks because SP1B have terrified them out of their wits.
Yeah, it's absolutely, it's what Donald Trump had said in the beginning. You can't let the cure be worse than you can't let the cure be worse than the disease. And that's what we've let happen. Toby Young, thank you so much for joining us. I'm going to say your website on the other side so people can check that out again. He's got a lot of great stuff, lockdownskeptics.org and also at The Spectator. Toby, thanks for joining the Grace Curley Show.
Thanks, Grace.
Guys, hotels, vets, dentists, everybody, they've all purchased multiple units of the Eden Pure Thunderstorm. And you know why? It's because it's such a great product. It clears, it purifies the air. If you have a smell in the air, whether it's a damp smell, if you have pollen in the air, this is the product you want. I'm actually going to hold it up right now for the cameras. And for the first time, for our listeners only, you can save $200 on an Eden Pure Thunderstorm air purifier 3-pack. That means you'll get 3 units for under $200 and save $200. One for your basement, first floor, and second floor, all in one purchase. Dr. Matt got his son one because his son has a stinky cat, which I feel bad saying that on the air in case the cat is a listener, but it's a fact. And this is exactly what you need. If you have animals, if someone smokes in your house, you want to clear that air out. Jared loves it because he has allergies.
Yes, if you have allergies, the Eden Pure Thunderstorm is a must. I keep one in my car. I have a couple in my house. They're great. It ionizes the air, creating super oxygen, and that's what eliminates any pollen or allergens, viruses, pollutants, anything that's in the air. It actually purifies the air. It doesn't just cover up odors. It purifies the air so that you are breathing clean, super oxygen, and it's fantastic.
Go to EdenPure.com and put in code word GRACE3 to save $200 for their special 3-pack. That's EdenPure.com, code word GRACE3 for their special 3-pack. This is a 1-week special only, so make sure you do that now. We'll be back with your calls, 844-500-4242. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You can call her late for dinner. Just don't call her Gracie. It's The Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley, she's working for you.
I'm like Bette Midler in For the Boys. Gotta keep the troops entertained.
Today's poll question is brought to you by Covfefe Coffee, making coffee great again. From the MAGA Dark Roast to their Drain the Swamp Medium Roast, Covfefe Coffee has it all. To order today, go to doyoucovfefe.com. It's spelled C-O-V-F-E-F-E. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Who had the worst war take on January 6th? Was it AOC for saying members of Congress served in war, Joe Biden for saying it was the worst attack on democracy since the Civil War, or Don Lemon saying it was nothing less than war?
I'm going to say Joe Biden because there's so many things that have happened since the Civil War. He knows that. He's like 150 years old.
He's been there for all of them.
Yeah. It's got to be Joe.
Joe is still in the lead at 63%. 33% say AOC and Don Lemon 4%.
Joe Biden once again crushing the competition. Reward yourself.
He does all that weightlifting. He's huge biceps.
You know what, Joe? You deserve an orange Gatorade. And this one's on me, bud. I just want to say about all of this information we're getting now about the Wuhan lab and, you know, the three scientists were hospitalized because they were so sick in 2019. You brought it up, Jared, and you were kind of being tongue-in-cheek, but you're absolutely right. I mean, it's not like this is a crazy assumption to make. It's not like Senator Tom Cotton had no reason to connect the two. I mean, it seems pretty basic. This started in Wuhan. You have a lab there that is studying and that is, investigating gain of function research on deadly viruses, and a deadly virus breaks out in that place. It kind of seems like you'd be crazy not to look there first. It kind of seems like you'd be out of your mind not to assume or at least be a little skeptical of China when they say, oh, no, it didn't start there. Don't worry about that. Well, I don't know. I'm not going to take China at their word, the Chinese government, I should say. But it does feel like, wait, we're the crazy ones for, you know, connecting the dots. These people connected so many dots between Trump and Russia. They spent $32 million connecting dots that weren't there. And you're telling me we can't connect the dot of the Wuhan lab to the coronavirus? That's absolutely out of bounds?
Yeah, I don't know who Escanor the Second is on Twitter or whatever it is, but he just tweeted, I need a new conspiracy theory because all my old ones came true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's absolutely true. Nancy, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Nancy.
Hey, Grace, I'm just reporting from Portland, Maine. I went into Trader Joe's with no mask on today.
Oh, and very good.
It was so exciting after more than a year. But sad to report that almost everybody else had one on still.
Yeah, and that same thing happened to me, Nancy.
There are older people who probably have been vaccinated. So, I mean, I'm old too, so I've been vaccinated since February, so...
It's yeah,
just I don't understand it.
That same thing happened to me. I went into a Trader Joe's and my sister and I were the only ones who had our mask off. Actually, there was one other lady and she made a point to come over to us. Like I said, you do develop a little bit of camaraderie when, you know, you're the only people, the unmasked bandits, and you walk around the store. And I said to my sister, I said, I hope, especially the young girls who are my age, I hope they look at me and go, oh, you know what? I probably, because they're all, Nancy, you're talking about how the old people are vaccinated, and I understand what you're saying. But at this point in most states, young people have had the opportunity to be vaccinated as well. All my friends are vaccinated. There's tons of young people who are vaccinated. So this idea that we still have to walk around with masks on is absolutely insane. Thank you for the call, Nancy. When we get back, I have a very, very special segment. It's called Producer's Picks. And that's Jared Diglio's jam. And we're very excited to hear what he's got on tap for today. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. I have a big announcement, which I'm sure a lot of you have heard. But on Friday, I will be at the 110 Grill in Plymouth, Mass. From 12 to 6 o'clock. It is my birthday celebration. We do it every year. It's the pancake breakfast. We do it every month. And unfortunately, last year we could not do it because of COVID, but we're back. I'm turning 29, and I think I'm going to stop there. You know, I think 29 is probably the last age that I'm going to get to. I don't think we're going to go much further than that. But Howie will be there. It's at 110 Grill in Plymouth. It's going to be really fun. It's a day before the masks are officially lifted. So we will be celebrating with cake. There'll be food, books, and a VIP experience raffle. So make sure you check that out. If you want to find out any more information, you can go to gracecurlyshow.com. There is a massive banner on the top of the page that you cannot miss. One more time, though, that's 110 Grill in Plymouth, Mass. I'm super excited for this. I was really bummed out last year. We couldn't have a birthday, but this is going to be bigger and better than ever. All right, without further ado, it is time for Producer's Picks.
And now, the feature so many of our listeners wait for each day, Producer's Picks.
All right, this is the part of the show where Jared Diglio browses through the internet and does his research and comes up with what he thinks is the most important stories of the day. Jared, take it away.
I am sure Governor Whitmer would love the 110 Grill. Their food is fantastic.
Great pizza. And you know what, Jared? I don't think the 110 Grill is, I'm just going to leave it there. I'm not even going to get into it. I don't want to go back and forth with Governor Gretch.
I don't blame you. All right. Well, Joe Biden's done it again. He was at a mundane, regular meeting of FEMA, and here we go.
But there's, you know, there to be, you know, beginning this effort for 2021 is, I think we've learned a few lessons from last year as well. There's help, being there to help clear roads, rebuild main streets, and so that the families can get back to their lives. That's what FEMA does every single day. As my mother would say, they're doing God's work.
Oh, his mom, his mom gets thrown in at all times.
His mom had a lot of good sayings.
Yeah, she did. Really unique, too. I mean, it's just getting to the point where I'm sure they don't really prep him that much for these kind of appearances because you figure no one in the media is going to cover it anyway. So just send him out and see what he says. It's the press conferences and the big speeches that you really have to worry about. Which does
there's, you know, there to be, you know, beginning
to be or not to be. That is the question. See, this does make me think that maybe with the whole Notre Dame thing, maybe his schedule was too busy. I don't know if they had to sign that letter because that could have been bad.
Get this man some orange Gatorades.
I mean, at the first commencement wasn't great. The second one wasn't going to be much better.
And congratulations on the school part. All right, so that actually is a good cut, but it's not my favorite sound cut, and you always lead with your best sound. This happened over the weekend. Did you hear about Andrew Yang, music aficionado?
No, I did not. I didn't see any Andrew Yang over the weekend.
Yes, Ziwei Fumudo, I believe is how you pronounce her last name. She's a comedian, actress, stuff. She'd been on The Daily Show. She did a couple other things. She has a Showtime show now where she does interviews. And her second episode of the variety show featured New York mayoral candidate Andrew Yang. And this happened.
Do you listen to rock music, by the way? Like, what are you vibing to?
I listened a lot to hip hop during the 90s and 2000s because
Andrew? I gotta know.
Well, it was Jay-Z and a little bit of Nas. And
what's your favorite Jay-Z song? He's a New Yorker.
Yes. What is my favorite Jay-Z song?
So close.
I'm not going to lie to you. That woman knew exactly what she was doing. There's been situations like with, on the Breakfast Club, or even when Barack Obama was asked about his favorite, was it a White Sox player that he was asked about?
Funny you should bring that up.
Who's one of your favorite White Sox players growing up?
You know, I thought that, the truth is that a lot of the Cubs I like too, but I did not become a Sox fan until I moved to Chicago, because I was growing up in Hawaii, and so I ended up actually being an Oakland A's fan. But when I moved to Chicago, I was living close to what was then Comiskey Park.
Right.
All right, we don't need your life story, man.
Actually, it was Comiskey Park. But hey, the guy only owned the team forever. Whatever.
I love how he says, I didn't become a a Sox fan until, what he really means is, I didn't become a Sox fan until 30 seconds ago when I walked in here and put this hat on. But the difference is, with those kind of questions, it feels as if it's, accidental journalism. You keep asking and you realize, oh, I put this person in a tight spot. But the way that interviewer is asking him those questions, she knows he's full of baloney. And she's like, okay. My brothers used to do that to me. I would buy a Rolling Stone shirt, just because it was cool. And they would say, name five songs. Of course I couldn't name five songs. Are you kidding me? Jimi Hendrix? I had a Jimi Hendrix shirt. I couldn't name you two.
You just got to have one in the bank. I mean, there's a song called New York. I mean, come on, Yang.
I know.
Yang Gang, get it together.
I could have even, I think, answered that, and I'm not a Jay-Z fan.
No. And obviously, the answer is No Church in the Wild of Kanye West. I mean, come on. That's true. I love that song. All right. Former and probably future presidential candidate Kanye West.
I love Kanye. I could name a few Kanye songs, but that's a different story.
All right. Well, it's a little sporty today, and we're moving to the sport of baseball. Alex Rodriguez, A-Rod, recently ex of the Jennifer Lopez.
Jennifer Lopez.
J-Rod, whatever their celebrity name was. Well, Alex, who some people may remember, had a very confusing spread, I believe, in Sports Illustrated years ago, where he was making out with himself in a mirror. The former baseball pro has teamed up with Hims and Hers beauty and wellness company, which he and Lopez became investors together last year, to develop the brand's first makeup for men.
Okay, now hear me out. I love makeup. I really do. And I don't think it's the worst thing for guys to have access to some makeup if they need it. Sometimes you get a bad zit and it can kill your self-confidence. I'm not anti, what's it called? What's the brand?
Hims and Hers.
Hims.
I'm not
anti Hims makeup. I think some guys, you put a little dab here and there, it might make you feel good.
Yeah, they're launching with the Blur Stick, which is touted as, quote, a convenient concealer specifically designed for men that can be used for skin imperfections.
Yeah, I don't see anything wrong with that, honestly.
Pretty in the pictures, he's putting it under his eyes and on his cheeks. So, I don't know. But hey, if you need to support A-Rod, you can go get the A-Rod makeup line.
I have met guys before who have had to throw on a little dab here and there of some concealer because they've had a monster
zit. When you were a theater major,
you wear
makeup in the theater.
Theater guys for sure wear makeup on stage, but also entertainers in broadcasting, some wear a little pancake makeup, but also just regular people. Sometimes you're going to a special event and you got a big zit. It's humans. We're all human.
All right. For anybody who didn't know, last night the Boston Bruins advanced to the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs by beating the Washington Capitals and former captain Zdeno Chara in five games. Well, with the lifting of everything coming Friday, the TD Garden says it will return to near full capacity for Bruins and Celtics playoff games. So,
what do they consider near full capacity?
They didn't put an exact number out there, but near full capacity would suggest probably. I think most of those arenas average about 18,000, so I would say probably somewhere around 15,000 or 16,000.
All right, well, that's good
likely
news.
So if you've been wanting to go to a game and you haven't been able to, you will have a better shot now.
Yeah, they're going to be expensive, though.
As of this point, the TD Garden has not mentioned anything about proof of vaccines or vaccine passports or anything like that.
Very cool.
Yeah, so if you want to go see a game, you'll be able to do so soon.
See, in my house, Will is a very intense Bruins watcher. I've actually never seen anything like it. It's stressful. And it's a quiet stress. He doesn't yell or whatever. He just focuses, like a laser focus on the screen. So I usually, go into the other room and watch some Netflix or something. And then I find out the next day how'd it turn out. But it's been a good series from what I've seen here and there.
Yeah, no, they are really hitting their stride. Oh, LeBron James and the terrible, horrible, no good, very bad weekend. So LeBron James, if you did not see this, violated NBA COVID protocols by attending an event.
What event?
He went to the event of a tequila brand that he has a stake in. So he broke their COVID protocols.
Oh, so he couldn't
go to the... And apparently nothing's going to happen. Charles Barkley is very upset about that. But it seems like LeBron broke the COVID protocols and nothing's going to happen.
Well, as long as he didn't say anything about China's human rights problems, then he should be okay.
What are you talking about? China human rights?
That's his...
Come on.
That's who's in charge of LeBron James. That's his boss.
Stop seizing with the Republican talking points, Grace.
Sorry about that.
But the Lakers are in the playoffs last night, and LeBron and the Lakers lost to the Suns in game one of that series, and Chris Paul, the point guard for the Suns, hooked LeBron's arm when he was going up for a rebound and kind of wrenched LeBron's shoulder, and it started the fight, and everybody was saying it was dirty. So,
do you watch this, Jared?
I don't anymore. I worked in the NBA for 6 years, so I'm very familiar with the league and all the players in there, but I've kind of honestly been out of sports
for the past two years or so. I don't think anyone watches basketball.
Once they started going super woke, it just... Eh.
And the ratings are just tanking, I watch the ratings. They actually make me very happy.
Yeah, and also super woke, LeBron James is a Mountain Dew commercial where he engages in what they are now calling cultural appropriation.
If I let myself get distracted, I might have been LeBron James. Salsa King?
So he's dancing at El LeBron's Salsa Palace here, and Twitter is going nuts about cultural appropriation with LeBron James. So LeBron just cannot catch a break these days.
Aww, I feel so bad for LeBron.
Right? And quick on this day, 2017, Sir Roger Moore, James Bond for 7 films, my personal favorite Bond. I know I get a lot of crap for that. Everybody loves Connery, and Sean was great. But Roger Moore was kind of the Bond that I really liked the best. He passed away this day in 17. Bob Dylan, the obviously famous musician who wrote, I think, every song between 1960 and 1990, turns 80 years old today. Robert Allen Zimmerman from Minnesota. Bob Dylan. Happy 80th birthday to Bob Dylan.
We'll have to tell Howie that. He's a big, big Bob Dylan guy, which always surprised me, but he's a big fan. All right, we'll be back with Howie Carr, Speak of the Devil. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. She's got the voice of an angel.
I've been called the songbird of my generation, of people who've heard me.
It's Grace Curley.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show, and happy 80th birthday to Howie's favorite musician,
Bob Dylan.
We got a bunch of Bob Dylan cuts to play. I planned on not doing anything with it because I figured most of the listeners don't like Bob Dylan as much as I do. But
that's never stopped you before.
I know. The mailroom manager called me up and said we should do something. So I
80 is a big year.
Yeah, it is a big year. And I you know, my infatuation with Bob Dylan's music or his poetry or whatever you want to call it, it's pretty small area in the sort of the rock, the drug years from the mid 60s.
Can you give us your favorite Bob Dylan song?
You know what? This is one of those things. I know it sounds like a cop out, but I got so many, I really can't. I mean, I love so many of them, but let me just pick, and I'd even pick this one out there for it takes a lot to laugh. It takes a train to cry. I ride on a mail train, baby, can't buy a thrill. That's the name of a Steely Dan album. And I get, whenever I quote Bob Dylan as saying can't buy a thrill, I get these nasty texts from people. It's Steely Dan. It's like Maggie's Farm. You know, I got a head full of ideas that are driving me insane. And that's a big line in the Fire Science Theater album. So much stuff that he created, it was taken by others. I mean, I hate to sound like, you know, some Rolling Stone reviewer or something, but
no, I like this. I like to see this side of you, Howard.
Well, yeah, we got about seven cuts from some of my favorite lyrics. I mean, they're not more than like 30, 35 seconds long, but they're really, I mean, he's done so much great work. There was actually a funny story in the New York Times of all places today saying that Bob Dylan is underrated as a comic. Because his lines are so, I mean, some of the lines are so funny. I received your letter yesterday about the time the doorknob broke. You asked how I was doing. Was that some kind of joke? I mean, that's a good line, isn't it?
Yeah, very good. Very good. I'm going to have to do some research tonight. All right, Howie, speaking of research, are you surprised at the sudden turnaround of Dr. Fauci? This was the guy who said, no, this came from a market in Wuhan, had nothing to do with the Wuhan lab, and now he's saying he's not convinced that the COVID-19 had natural origins. It's a change-up for sure.
You know, you can make one statement to the feds when they bring you in for your initial interview, but when they play the tapes of your real conversations with the CW, the cooperating witness, chances are your story begins to change.
Well, don't you think it's interesting? Because you're the one who said to me, Howie, after one of his many back and forths with Rand Paul, you said he was under oath. And I know it doesn't mean much today, but it still means something.
Right. I mean, he's busted. I mean, you know, you could see it in his face. You can see it in his backpedaling. I mean, he's busted. I mean, he's one of these guys. He's not worried about staying out of jail. But he's worried about his legacy. And I think his legacy is pretty much shot.
He's worried about the pillows. Will there be pillows with his face on it? Speaking of that, one of the people who had a pillow with Dr. Fauci's face was Governor Gretchen Whitmer. You heard about this.
Yeah, Jay from Chelsea had a good line. He said, who knew that Gretchen Whitmer had turned into the Phantom Gourmet? They've all turned into the Phantom Gourmet.
They have great pizza.
That's a dive bar. You can just look at the background of it. Every college town in America has a place like the Land Shark Bar and Grill.
But
right?
I think it's so funny.
What's the governor of the state doing in the Land Shark Bar and Grill?
I think it's so funny that one of her excuses the first time around was, I wasn't partying in Miami. It's like, is that what you assume we've all been wanting to do for the last year? Some of us just want to live our lives. All right, guys, Howie's coming up next. Don't go anywhere. This has been the Grace Curley Show. We'll be right back.